Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I am the author of three four books. The first book is From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And also, I have my fourth book, Unlimited Possibilities, A Roadmap to Restoration, and Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversity. I'm so excited about tonight's show. I have four fathers that will be joining me tonight that will be talking about fatherhood as it relates to relationships. I have, starting off, I have Dr. DJ Roker on the phone. He's a businessman, and he's written several books. Dr. DJ Roker, are you there?
I am here. Good evening, Val, and listening and radio audience, and those of you on the internet listening to us by the on the World Wide Web via streaming. Good evening, and welcome to this wonderful segment. It's so good to be here today.
Absolutely, I'm so excited about having you here on the air. And you know, there's been a myth out regarding fathers, about fathers not being present in the home, fathers not playing their role. I was watching this documentary a couple of nights ago that says what's on the minds of men, and it said, you know, which I was really shocked about, it said that 87% of men are indeed paying their child support and being active participants in their child's life. And 67% more men are getting educated as opposed to going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Powerful statistics, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was really floored. It was very interesting. It was a three-hour-long documentary, and it talked about, you know, so many different aspects as it relates to the male species. And then that's also what prompted me to do a dedication of this show to the men. I have a lot of different men that I esteem highly that are surrounding me, and I always call on advice from, and you're one of them. What would you say to those fathers out there, or to men that haven't been involved in their children's lives, or, you know, are struggling with the relationship with their children? Dr. Roker, what would you say to them? Could you share with us your input as being a father of three?
Yes.
Or is it four? How many do you have, three or four?
Three.
No, I'm serious, because I know you have, I met a couple of your daughters, so I wasn't sure if I had met everybody.
Three, yes. And again, thank you so much for having me today. One of the things that I share to men in reference to fathering and fatherhood, of course, this is a journey for all of us, and who are dealing with, whether they're young children or teenagers, fathering is a constant and a consistent process. And I want to commend all of the men who are involved in their children's life. It's very important, because their role as fathers is not only significant, but it's a crucial and a vital role to ensure that the children remain on a clear path in terms of guidance and instruction. Instructions, of course, mothers who I know, and I've grown up as an adult out of a single parent home, outside of the influence of my grandfather and uncles. My mother was my caretaker and the one that really gave me instructions and guidance. But it was but for the grace of God that I was able to stay on a clear path, because I've had such good male influence. Again, my grandfather and uncles and even some of the men in the church that I grew up in played a very active role in my life, so I didn't miss out. I was surrounded by good, solid, strong male influence. So I was fortunate not to fall through the cracks, as would many other young men and even young ladies would fall through the crack, because they missed that vital part of influence. So it's very critical and crucial, very important, that the father, which is the priest, biblically, he is called to be priest of his home, provider, of course, for the family, the protector for his children and home and the environment that they live in. And he's also supposed to play a significant role in terms of creating memories, good memories in their life, so that their foundation would be strong and remain solid even as they go from childhood into young adulthood and then transition into full, complete adults. So one of the things that a father should do is create a godly father or a good father, create memories for his children. Also, you know, I look at fathers as, well, I'd say myself, has a equal responsibility to sow seed of time into their children's life, not just create the memories, but spend time with them. And that time will cost trust. The harvest of, if they sow the seed of time in their children's lives, that will in turn cause, foster relationship, but also create an environment where trust, or the harvest of trust, can can blossom and bloom. So that's one of the things that a good or godly father does. He also confronts, or is willing to confront, problems in his home. He doesn't necessarily just push it aside for the mother to deal with. He plays an active role in helping to confront or dealing with problems and issues that may come up, either in the home or things that may attempt to intrude from outside of the home. That's what a good or godly father
But what about those fathers that aren't in the church? Because, you know, we have a lot of fathers that are good men but aren't in the church for one reason or another. A lot of times it's because of the way they've been brought up, or the dissatisfaction of not being able to find a good or decent church home. So what about those fathers which, you know, aren't in the church? What about the building and the structure and relationship as it relates to that?
Well, time, even you don't have to be a man of God to be a good man. a good father, whether he's in the church or part of some form of faith or religion, or have been exposed to spirituality, I believe most fathers and parents want the best for their children and desire that their children have a well-rounded and a balanced and full and complete life. They want their children happy. They want their children children. They want them to just grow up without any cares in the world, any pressure or stress or issues. I think whether it's a believer or a Christian father or a non-Christian father, I truly believe that most fathers or most parents desire for their children not only to have a good life, but really to have a life or a childhood or a teenage years better than what theirs was. They want the best for their children. And I think, simple things, I've learned, I have teenagers now, I'm learning it does not take a lot to make children happy. It really doesn't. When they're younger, you got to do all these other things just to kind of keep them busy and keep them, happy and engaged. And even during that time, you pretty much could predict what they want and pretty much, give them a lot of their desires, unless they have, some discipline issues or some problems, some behavioral issues. Outside of that, as the children grow and become teenagers and go into young adulthood, they're not really hard to please or hard to try to understand. I've heard a lot of parents say, I just can't understand my teenager. I can't understand my child. And time and communication is very, very important. And I think that in and of itself will foster a greater relationship. The time factor is amazing. Kids want time. They want your time. Then they want some quality time with you. And that, you'll be surprised what that one day or that one weekend or that one vacation or that one trip or one cruise or one, you know, that one thing could create such a major memory in their life and open the door, can be a door opener to maybe other things that they want to come to you with, to discuss with you, or they may want to kind of want you involved in. So, you know, I'm learning even as a father of teenagers to open the door by sowing the time, by being involved. Mm-hmm. You know,
One of the things I can say, I salute you on that because I've watched you with your daughters and I see the interaction and, you know, I noticed that you take one-on-one time with them and it's like they're the focus of your eye. You know, I've done that with all four of my children, my boys and girls, but, you know, one of the things as I was growing up, the reason why I asked you to expound on if the person isn't in church, because, you know, my father is definitely not a churchgoer, but I tell you that time he spent with me was so special. I have such wonderful memories of me and my father, different things that we've done together and how, you know, I was just, you know, and I'm still at 50-something years old, I'm still daddy's little girl because that's what he made me think. That's what he made me believe. And in doing so, we always gravitate and look for men in our lives to accommodate us the way our fathers did.
Yes. You know, Val, one, thank you for the compliment and the observation. I have not always been the father that I've learned to become within the last 7 years.
Okay.
I'm a businessman, as you've said. I am. I'm also a clergyman. I'm also a speaker, and I'm involved in a number of things. So my schedule is often busy, and it seems like you can almost never catch a break where it comes to that quality time with your family. And I made a decision. I remember the day, the place I was, and the day that I made a decision that I would change the direction of my life and the quality of life of my children. I remember that Saturday afternoon on August the 13th that I made a quality decision about 7 years ago that I was going to do it different. I was not a bad father. I was just an uninvolved father. I was the father that gave the money and was available at all of the, you know, the key moments that you have to be involved. But it was, to me, it was at that time in my life, because I was younger too, it was like a chore. It was not I did it out of obligation, but it was not a delight. And then your children, they start growing up so quickly, and you begin, your focus change, and you begin to now say, you know, at that point say, you know, I have a limited amount of time to make an impact in my children's life, in their foundation, to make that imprint. And, of course, you know, I have two daughters, and my girls are teenagers now, but 7 years ago, they were in elementary school. And I made a quality decision then that, you know, if I don't do this, then their future, they would be shortchanged. Their future would not be as balanced, as they would not be probably as centered. Because I'm telling you, I mean, just like you are what you eat, you are what you hear, you are what is deposited into your life, you are literally what you think. So, you know, I did not have the significance significant influence of my own biological father in my life. I had a stepfather, but he was not my biological father. And he did a great job being involved. But I know what it is I know what I wanted and what I desired. And even though I got the next best thing, I often wonder, could I have been a better person today, maybe, had he been involved?
Mm-hmm.
Could my identity have been more secure, my focus? Would I have had less insecurities in areas that I struggle with insecurity and validation and a sense of am I good enough in this area? Would that have made a difference? We all have our own insecurities or our own issues that we all deal with internally that could certain decisions within my life could have been different. That's all of that matters to me, and I did not want my girls or my children to not have the opportunity. So I made a decision when they were in elementary school that I was going to do it. I remember where I was that Saturday day on August the 13th, that day, that year, 7 years ago, and I made a decision. I decided. So I wasn't always where I am today. Now it's a joy. As a father, I insist on us taking two family vacations a year. Most of the time we do two. We go twice a year in the summer, and then we pick another time to go every year. We've been consistent with that for the last 6 years, every year.
Okay. Well, I want you to hold on. Put your phone on mute. I'm not going to mute you completely out because I'm bringing on Ken Timmons, who's a father of boys. Dr. Roker, you have girls. Ken Timmons has boys, sons.
Awesome.
Ken, are you there?
Hi, Valerie. Good evening to you and your guests.
Ken, okay, you've heard what Dr. Roker talked about as it relates to his girls. How is it? Is it pretty similar with the boys, or how was your influence, and how have your influence been on their lives? I know you're divorced now, but how does that relate to your relationship with your sons now and their maturity as they've grown and married and gotten their own lives and their children?
I would like to say that I'm honored, Valerie, that you would even consider me to join this discussion. There are a couple of things that I would like to add to Dr. Roker. Roker has said very insightful. The one thing, and I agree with him, I wasn't always the father that I now am. And I'm sure that in the future I will be a better father. I was an imperfect father. Let me hasten to say that. Looking back on the way some things have turned out, looking back on retrospectively, there are some things that I could have done differently and that I should, in fact, have done differently. However, that being said, I would like to encourage any father to take a look around him at friends or families who have kids and find those things that are working for them and maybe try to employ those things into your situation. They may not all work for your situation, but one thing that I did fall short on is developing the craft of parenting, if I can use that term. Many of us are professionals. Many of us are entertainers, and you constantly work to improve your skill. But as a parent, I have to admit much of the time that I was, or the earlier days of my parenting, it was sort of like happenstance. It's like, you wake up every morning and however the day turns out, it turns out. I mean, there were some things that guided me, but it wasn't a focused guidance. And so I would encourage you to whatever articles that you may find that suggest ways that you might parent your child, make it as if it were your profession, your craft. How can I improve on, or how can I get the outcome that I'm looking for? A lot of us don't realize until it's probably too late that there is a specific outcome that you might want to have for your child. And so being an imperfect parent, that's the one downside that I have for my, that I can see that I had in my life. I would go on to say that as a parent, one of the greatest things that I think that I did for my sons, at one point I was heavily involved in real estate and I owned some properties. And one thing I never did, because I was able to own properties, I never paid my children allowances for cleaning their bedrooms or dishes or mowing the lawn, because this is their home. This is where they live. I know not everyone can have a circumstance such as I had, but what I would do for my boys to earn money, I would have them help me rehab properties, painting. I taught them minor plumbing, taught them minor electrical. They can change out any kind of lock on a door. They can change out lighting fixtures. They can change out windows. They can lay tile. They can lay carpeting. Those basic things. And I didn't realize how important that was at the time. My sons are 24 and 28 now. But when they were in their teenage years, I really had them helping me out a lot. And I had a young lady, she was about 40 years old when she mentioned this to me. She said that she couldn't find a decent man because, you know, the guys that she could find that were her age, they didn't even know how to change out a light bulb, you know, like a fluorescent light. And I think a lot of those guys may have been reared by a mother who maybe just did it for them instead of teaching them how to do it. I'm not really sure how that happened. But my sons can do a lot of things, and it surprises people to find out that, you know, them being 24 and 28, that they can do these things. So I think one of the greatest things that I did for them was to teach them how to be handy, how to figure out how to fix things, how to repair things. And if you can't figure it out, then if you can't fix it, know that you can't fix it, and then you call the experts, as it were, to come and repair it. So, and then the last thing that I would say, for sake of time, is that even though their mom and I divorced, I think my youngest was about maybe 3 or 4. My oldest was about 8 at the time. We divorced, but I did not, we went through a period of separation for a couple of years, but I didn't need a judge to tell me my sons needed a place to live. And so the home that we lived in, I continued to pay the mortgage, and I continued to pay for the automobile that she had because they were young, and I didn't want them out catching the bus in the heat, the rain, or at night. My daddy told me that I was a fool for doing that, and probably I was, but I was thinking of my kids, and that was the driving concern for me, and I would do it again today.
Who told you were a fool?
My dad, and I'm saying that nicely. He didn't really say it as nicely as I did. For continuing to pay for the home and the automobile that my at that time separated from my wife. But anyway, the one thing that really blessed me one day is I'm riding with my youngest son. He was about 10 at the time. And we're on 441 right about 12th Street. I mean, I remember it so clearly in the afternoon. And we're listening to Hot 105, and they were honoring fathers. And I was listening to the radio, but I was watching him. And he was looking straight ahead, but I knew something was working in his head. He just had this very focused look. And the announcer said something about a father who was always there. And about 2 minutes later, my son, being 10 at the time, said, "That's how you are, Dad." I said, "What do you mean, that's how I am?" He said, "You're always there." You know, and as imperfect as I know that I was in rearing them when they were younger, to hear that, even now, it's sort of like kind of gets next to me. But, you know, for a child that age to know that his dad is always there, even when we were separated, I mean, I had him every weekend, every time I could. But I was always there because I take family very seriously. And, in fact, Valerie, you know this, that I ended up with custody of my son, so I raised them as well. Now they're out on their own raising their families. But those are some points that I want to make. And like I said, really just to be there for your kids, even in your imperfections, but always studying your craft, the craft of parenting. Those are things that I would like to encourage fathers to do.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ken. I'm going to bring you back if you have time, but I have another father on the line. J.R. Thicklin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us. We have Dr. Roker spoke and Ken Timmons spoke, and Ken has boys, Dr. Roker has girls, and you have how many sons is it? Five sons and one daughter?
I have four sons and one daughter.
Okay, see, I'm giving everybody extra kids.
I have four sons and one daughter biologically, and, you know, and it's amazing that raising them have been very different at different stages. I wasn't always raising them by myself. Of course, when I was married to their mothers, that was one story, but I will say, and especially having an opportunity to raise my three younger ones, one just graduated here 2 weeks ago and on his way off to college, it's been quite a lesson for me. As I've done these things, I have found myself very much relating to the single parent mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so inside of that, you know, it's quite a feeling, you know, especially when you're responsible for dinners, you're responsible for making sure they get up and go to school, and following up with them on their work and things that they need to get done. And for me, the biggest challenge as a man is really helping develop habits, healthy habits inside of them, because you don't want them to always think that everything that you tell them to do is some form of chore or some form of punishment, for not doing something. You want them to develop healthy habits, and I often tell them that the secret to one's success can be found in their daily routine. And, you know, and I try to teach and model from that standpoint there. And it's challenging. It's not, you know, it's not a piece of cake, especially when you're dealing with three teenage young men, 18, 16, and one will be 15 here, in August. And just in dealing with their day-to-day things, because they are that age now, they often share the same things I share. I find myself, you know, buying deodorant, look like, you know, two or three, things of deodorant for each one of them a month, you know, and they just go through it. And then the worst part of it, you know, the thing about it with those young men there, also in things like, you know, things like your cologne. My God, come out going through cologne. Dad, can I borrow your cologne? And I have all these colognes I will get as samples, but I have my own elite brands I use. And those guys went through all my samples and started getting to the real stash of what I love and make me feel good. And their justification to me was, "Dad, well, you ought to be glad that we want to smell like you." So their rationale and the way that they look at things has been very interesting. Well, for the most part, for me as a father, I realize that this is my God-given duty. It is the highest office that I can hold. It is the greatest assignment that I have. Not my assignment as a pastor or minister, not my assignment as a motivator, not my assignment as an advocate. not my assignment as, you know, all these things I do and have done in the community. Those things are great. But when it's all said and done, the greatest assignment I have in this life is being a father and being able to guide them, to lead them, to protect them, provide for them, and to prepare them for the world that's ahead of them. Because I think that's what every parent and definitely every father wants to know, is that I have laid a foundation. I have, you know, I've opened up a way. I have given them the pattern. I've supplied them with the tools so that they're able to take it a next step further inside of their generation. And that's always my challenge. That's always the thing I find myself dealing with. And I'll be the first to say, it's not always easy, you know, but it is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you opened up by saying that you found yourself operating and functioning as a single parent. Is it because, you know, now that they're men, they're growing into being young men, that they prefer living with you, being around their dad more because of the things, the influences that you have provided for them?
Yeah, I think that has a great deal to do with it, And I think the other part is that they know that their dad has their best interests at heart. I always want to expose them to things that are positive for their lives, things that reinforce the values and the core values that we've tried to teach them all along. I think they love being around dad and being raised by dad because of the fact of that strip of being dad, being able to have that conversation and being able to rightfully identify with me as a man, and then being able to say certain things to them even as it relates to relationships. And I talk to them always about the fact of, I'm very transparent. They know my ups, they know my downs, they know things that we've gone through, and I try to point out to them so that they can avoid some of those same pitfalls. And being able to have open dialogue, I think goes a great distance for them, because they recognize that I am human and that I do think about where their future lies. And so it's been that type of challenge. I think that they would not have it any other way inside of being raised by their dad. Now, they would probably take it another way when it comes to gourmet meals, because dad is not a gourmet cook, but dad does definitely cooks well enough so that they can have an enjoyable meal, they can have a healthy dinner, and they survive. They do live to come back again, and all the things we can't cook, we'll order out, but it's been a wonderful experience as a man. As a father, and the one thing I discovered is that, you know what, we don't always know what to do. I heard, I think, both Ken and Dr. Roker talk about the fact how we become better fathers as we've gone along. Definitely I've become a great father, a much better father, because of the time that I've had, the experiences that I've had, the trial and error, because parenting is that. Parenting, a great deal of parenting, is trial and error. There is no one-size-fits-all. There's no cookie cutter that one can take. You know, it's about learning and being forever, willing to learn, your kids, and understand that though they may all have your DNA and all those things, their personalities can be as diverse as, Baskin-Robbins 33 flavors of ice cream. And we have to be aware of those things. And those are the things that keeps us not only youthful, but keep us praying, because, in fact, they do have personality. They develop a very strong conviction about things, and you have to decide how strategic I'm going to be in cultivating those things, or am I going to oppose those things, oftentimes ripping away some of the fabric of who they are. So it's been a great challenge. It's been a great delight, in doing so. I had a person say to me today earlier, said, I would love for you to take the time and just do a little memoir, write some things about your experience as a father, as a single father, from a father from that perspective, and share it. Because, in fact, there are other men out here that they don't have any guides or anything else, and they struggle along. And sometimes you start beating yourself up because you're wondering, am I doing it right? Or when you fall short, or you may feel like you wasn't as sufficient as your kid, and you need to understand that those are natural feelings to have. That, to me, is always a great sign that if you have those feelings, because it means that you're well sensitive to detail. It does mean that you're very much cognizant and mindful of your child's feelings. You're mindful of what happens to them. So those are great things to have. And, you know, one thing I just love to say is just, you know, when we say Happy Father's Day, every man ought to be able to wear that with a pride. Every man ought to be able to wear that with a certain degree of honor because, you know what, we are valuable, we matter. And that's really the message that I home in on is that I matter. Every man needs to understand how valuable they are in the life of a child.
And I'm so glad you summed it up in that manner. I have Dr. Roker, you're alive, and Ken, you're alive. One question, okay, we're going to get a little deep here. Do any of you fathers believe that our young people struggle today with their sexual identities because of the absentee of their father or the lack of involvement? Dr. Roker, yeah. Ken, you're both live, and also Jared Thicklin, you're all live, so anyone that wants to comment on that?
Well, let me say that identity, sexual identity, personal identity, self-image is all rooted in who impacted or imparted information into your life, how the information was imparted, and when, at what stage in your life. Val and other guests, also good evening, gentlemen. Again, you both said some very important points. I stayed on just listening in. I want you to know, Val, that I have friends, colleagues, associates who you would not believe have made what we say poor life choices or decisions, and if you talk with them, and myself included, you can trace it back to the presence or the absence of a father, and a father that either spent time with them, a father that gave them guidance and counsel. You can tell from the adults today, whether it be 30, 40, 50, 60 years of age, the adults today, you can tell their decision-making patterns and of their ability to make quality life decisions by the role of the father and his, not just role, but his involvement in their life, because there are many fathers who are in the home who are not involved. Then you have some fathers outside of the home are more involved than the fathers who are in the home. That's a whole other discussion for another time, so I just wanted to make that key point right there.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure, well, Valerie, that...
Go ahead, Ken.
I would just say that's a little difficult for me to answer. I do think that having a father figure is a positive, especially an active father. I don't know that it affects the sexuality of the male as much as it does the female. I don't know. Call me old-fashioned. I'm not a scientist nor a doctor. I happen to think a lot of, and I wouldn't dare put a percentage on it, but I think a lot of that does, the issues with sexuality might come from maybe negative interactions with other folks, such as child molestation kind of thing. But I caution my comments, because again, I don't know these things to be a fact. I do know that in some cases this does serve to be true. When it comes to female, again, not being a doctor or a scientist, but being an observer of life and circumstances, and I read excessively, when it comes to the female, I was watching a show this morning, and there was these two ladies that had gotten married, and the one lady, I mean, I knew she was a lady, but because of her voice, but she looked like a man. And I don't know, it seems to me that sometimes when a young lady misses being that apple of their father's eye, it seems to me maybe they want to enact. I won't say reenact because they didn't have the father in the first place, but I want to say they want to enact maybe how they would have been or would have wanted their father to have been to them, I mean, to the point that they would even care to dress or their appearance as a man. Again, this is just one of my kinisms. This is not scientific. But I don't understand how you want to be a lesbian, which in my understanding, in most circumstances I've dealt with, I have several friends that are lesbians, which they hate men the most part, or they despise men, or they have a dislike, a terrible dislike for men, but yet to try and appear to be a man, that sort of contradicts that issue. So I don't know. I'm sure that not having a father, or certainly a positive and active father, has some effect. But for me and my observations, it seems to have more of an effect on the female. And then for those females that are not lesbian, that haven't had the father figure in their lives, to know that they are the indeed apple of his eye, I see so many more of them succumbing to any word, any sweet talk that a young man brings by them, and they latch onto it because they have missed feeling that specialness that they should have gotten from a father. I mean, you watch Maury Povich, and I mean, there are girls that have been on there 15 times or more, and these girls are probably not even not even young adults yet. But why is that? Because they believe every sweet nothing that is whispered to them, or every quote act of kindness that comes to them. I think it's more demonstrated when it comes to females. But again, that's just my kinism.
Your kinism. Thank you so much for sharing your kinism.
Yes. I would like to chime in on that very quickly if I can. I think that there is both empirical evidence as well as evidence that has been researched over and over again that how big a factor that the father's presence play on shaping the identity of the children, period. For the young male, the father's presence gives that young male a mirror to look at, what to expect, something to look forward to. And when dad is missing, whether he's in the home or out of the home, when his name is Sam, he's silent and missing, then it leaves the child searching for our identity. What is right? What is wrong? What is standard? What isn't standard? What is acceptable? What is not acceptable? And what we do understand is that this is crucial, that every day we live, we as parents lose a little bit more influence on our children. That's why the most crucial period is between 0 and 5 years old, most crucial point of impact inside of their lives. That next period of time is of also great influence because of the fact anywhere from the ages of 5 to 11, a great impactful time. By that time, there are a lot of voices that are in our children's ear, the voices of peers, the voices of media, the voices of all those other things that occupy their attention. So when we're not there as fathers to demonstrate, to inform, to impart, what happens is our kids are persuaded and they're influenced by things. The young boy who did not understand totally what homosexuality was, but yet and still, because of the fact it was acceptable with another little boy and thing of that nature, could be easily influenced about what that means. Now, the thing about it, the more things that our society accepts, the more easier it will be able to for others to just kind of, if you would, meander over and to embrace. But that's where fathers come in at when we do set standards, when we begin to set limitations and boundaries, when through participating in their lives, not as a taskmaster, but as a participator in their lives, it makes a lot of difference. And one of the things I heard Ken said, he said he wasn't sure, but definitely it makes a big difference inside of their identity. And then for what it's worth, it makes a difference even to our girls in what to look for in a man. Is this a real man? Is this the way a man is supposed to treat me? Also, the father also gives that picture of what to expect from male. What is the proper behavior of males? And if there's no example there, our girls oftentimes find themselves with what we call the bad guy, you know, Mr. Thug, because he appears to be rough, the old image of what a man is supposed to be, but yet it still does not have that virtue and that virtue of protecting, of nurturing, and definitely not that virtue of being a spiritual priest in the home. So once again, every father, we have to lift up our hands and say, I matter.
And, you know, I believe that you are absolutely right in your statement, Jay, because of the fact that, you know, I had my parents. See, I was raised by my parents. But when it came down to my father, me as a little girl, I mean, my dad's a biker. So, you know, I looked for strong men in my life and continue to look for strong men with that kind of not thuggish, because my father's a gentle thug, but
yes,
he
yes,
had
indeed.
Authority. He, when he spoke, when he opened his mouth, it was with authority, and people and they bowed down to him because of his spoke, the way he spoke, his presentation. So, indeed, I do believe that it is very crucial for men to be involved in their children's life, male and female. And, you know, it is a saying that the girls gravitate to the fathers and the sons gravitate to the mothers, but it does not eliminate the fact that the fathers have to be there present, as you stated, Jay, and Ken, to show them the way, show them what is proper, show them what is right. I couldn't teach my sons how to be men. And just I taught them how to cook, how to clean, how to carry themselves, how to treat a lady, but I couldn't teach them how to be men, things that they needed instruction from a man from. So I pulled on my brothers and my father to instruct them and to help them. I have a Captain Mark Stevenson. Are you there?
This is Captain Mark. How are you doing from Chicago?
I am well, Captain Mark, from Chicago. Now, enlighten us on how many children you have, and we got a few minutes left. We've had an interesting conversation with Dr. D.J. Roker, J.R. Thigpen, Ken Timmons, and now you, talking about fatherhood and the roles we play in our children's lives that can basically make or break these individuals to be productive in the earth.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Parker. I appreciate you asking me to come on this call this evening. Speaking of fatherhood, what does it take to be a man? And what does it take to be a father? I ask myself that quite often. I ask myself, what does it take to be a good grandfather? If you missed it the first time around trying to be a good father, I was just talking with a friend of mine, and we were conversing about his granddaughter and how proud he was of his granddaughter. And me, I'm looking and listening, and I'm thinking, if I had been attentive enough during the time that my children were growing up, perhaps I would be able to share in the love for my grandchildren in that same manner. Now, I have 5 children, all adults, and I have 12 grandchildren. I'm very blessed to have them, and I'm very blessed to be in a part of their life. But the truth is that it's a work in progress, because the real truth is that I have to start over and learn how to do the things for my grandchildren that I did not do for my children. You see, I was a baby making a baby, Dr. Parker. And listeners, I tell you, as a young man at 15 years old, having my first son, I was just a baby, still making babies. So I kind of grew up with my children. And I missed out a lot of the activities that a normal, quote-unquote, parent might do with their children. So now I look at it at 56 years old, I have an opportunity to serve my grandchildren at a different level. Being the example isn't the easiest thing in the world, though, because I'm still trying to get myself together and trying to tell my children that as much as I can try and do for them, the best thing that I can do is look at the man in the mirror, because at the end of the day, I still am that go-to person where once I was a child, I didn't know when exactly that it happened, but today I find myself the elder of the family. So it's an awesome responsibility, and sometimes I still want to turn and walk away, and that's the real truth.
Wow. And you know what? And this is what Hot Topics from the Soul is really about, being transparent, you know, so that individuals that are listening in to know or that have those insecurities or are not quite there yet, they can feel that they're on safe ground to say that and you know, talk about the different things that have caused them to be sidetracked in being that parent they need to be. You know, my children think I'm an excellent mother, but I still have imperfections. I still am struggling and grasping at straws. And as you said with my granddaughter, I'm constantly trying to look and see different things to do differently with her that I may not have done with my own children. Parenting, there is no manual for parenting. There are books upon books about how to do it and the proper way to do it. But the truth of the matter is we're all dealing with different personalities from different walks of life, and nobody is perfect. But we walk and strive for perfection every day. But some of the key points that you all brought out was being present, being there. Because you know what? You don't have to give a child $1 million, buy them all the clothes and the Gucci and this and that. That stuff does not matter, and it does not measure up or have any worth if you are not there, if you are not present there in it. I salute my father on this Father's Day. My dad was a biker. He was a hardworking man, had two jobs, and he took time to, when he got off from work between those jobs, he taught me how to cook, he taught me how to clean, and I could call him up now that I'm grown and talk to him and say this is going on in my life, because he made it easy for me to come to him because he was dad. He was always that figure standing there, even in the midst of imperfections. He was still my knight in a shining armor, because I knew that if I went to dad, even if he wasn't there all the time that I thought he should have been there, when I called him, he answered. And I salute him for just simply being there and from teaching me the things that I needed to be taught to be the woman that I am today. As we close out this Hot Topics from the Soul, if anyone has any questions or comments, you can press 1, or if any of my guests tonight have any comments or closing remarks, please do so at this time. You're all live.
Valerie, I just want to say one
thing. Captain Mark, what was that?
I just wanted to say one additional thing in closing, that you're right about being transparent and being able to face the man in the mirror at this stage in my life is very important. I know that I've told my children that there's nothing I can do for the mistakes I've made, for the time that I was not there with them during the times that they needed me and the moments that they needed me during holidays and so forth. I know that I cannot teach my children the values. I cannot reteach them again. But whatever they didn't pick up along the way the first time around, that's on them. At this point, mm-hmm. they're adults. But still, even though my children are in their 30s and 40s now, I have let them know that if they ever need me, I am there to support them. No matter what the problem is, I can support them, and I will be there for them to lean on. That's all that we can do as parents, once we get to a certain point, we have to recognize that we cannot retrain them and reteach them. So at this point in life, I'm glad for whatever opportunity that I've had to serve my children. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Captain Mark. Any other fathers with closing remarks? Okay. I want to thank you all for joining. Anyone else that have any closing comments or remarks?
Yes, this is Shirley. I wanted to say thank you to all the your guests that you have on tonight. Dr. Roker, your significant change that you did 7 years ago, Ken, your legacy that you built with your son, and JR, your assignment, knowing your assignment and doing what you're doing with your son. And Captain Mark, I love what you said. You're sticking to your story, and that's wonderful. And I salute my father from heaven for being the man that he was.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, Shirley. You know, one of the things I want to leave with all of you is this, that no man has the ability to redeem time. We all wish we could have done things over. We all sometimes get that churning in our stomach when we think about the things we did and the things we didn't do, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our indiscretions. But we cannot redeem the time. We cannot play it back. We can't buy it back. We can't barter it back. It's done. It's over. But what we can do is change who we are and where we are at this present stage in our life. And that opportunity is given to us with every breath that we take. And today I want to salute you, men of God, you fathers that have shared with me on Hot Topics from the Soul, being transparent, and also giving some information to encourage those men that are struggling. Men, you know, nobody's perfect. These men share that they're not perfect, but every day they're striving and building relationships with their children. And that's what we have to continue doing until we leave and depart this earth, so that when we do leave this earth, that we will have a legacy. And the Horace Mann said, we should be ashamed to die until we've made a major contribution to mankind. Our contribution has been that we brought another life into this earth realm. That is our contribution. And now our contribution is to nurture, to cultivate them into being who they, who God has call them to be, because Jeremiah 2:20 said before that you will, he knew us when we were in our mother's womb. So we were called for purpose on purpose. And I thank my father, and I salute him on this Father's Day. And I thank you, men of God, for joining another Hot Topics from the Soul. Please visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com and also email me at soultopics@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments that you want aired or want to talk about on the next Hot Topics from the Soul. So tell a friend, and also take this show and email it to a father that you think may be struggling or may feel that they're going through something in their lives and they're being overwhelmed, because right now this dispensation that we're in, a lot of fathers are feeling insecure because they've lost their jobs. They're struggling to hold their families together. Email this tape to motivate and encourage them. And again, I thank you. Happy Father's Day. Good night.